He trailed off into sobs. Now, as always, the Lord answered only with silence. Faith alone wasn't enough for Horst Elwes, but then he'd always known that. The bird was back again, 30 centimeters long, its plumage a tawny brown, flecked with gold. It hovered 20 meters above Quinn, half hidden by the jungle's curving branches, its wings blurring in an intricate pattern as it maintained position. He watched it out of the corner of his eye. It wasn't like any other bird he'd seen on Lalonde. Their feathers were almost like membrane scales. When he scanned it with his retinal implant on high magnification, he could see it had real feathers, Earth genealogy feathers. He gave the hand signal, and they advanced steadily through the bush, Jackson Gale on one side of him, Lawrence Dillon on the other. Lawrence was the youngest Ivet, 17, with a slim figure, skinny limbs, and sandy blonde hair. Lawrence was a gift from God's brother. It had taken Quinn a month to break him. There had been the favoritism, the extra food, the smiles, and making sure he wasn't bullied by the others. Then there had been the drugs Quinn had brought from Baxter, the gentle lifts which removed Aberdale and all its squalor and endless toil, blurring away the edges until life was easier again. The midnight rape performed in the middle of the A-frame with everybody watching. Lawrence tied to the floor with a pentagon drawn round him in dandruff blood, his mind blown out of his skull by the drugs. Now Lawrence belonged to him, his sweet ass, the golden length of his dick and his mind. Lawrence's devotion to Quinn had evolved to a form of worship. Sex showed the others the power Quinn had. It showed them how in touch with God's brother he was. It showed them the glory of freeing the serpent beast that was trapped in every man's heart. It showed them what would happen if they failed him. He had given them hope and power. All he demanded in return was obedience. Demanded and received. The big spongy leaves of the vines which shrouded the trees brushed lightly against Quinn's damp skin as he advanced on his prey. After months of working under the brilliant sun, he was a rich all-over brown, wearing just a pair of shorts cut from his jumpsuit, and the boots he'd stolen from Durringham. He'd eaten well since the Iverts started fending for themselves, and put on muscle weight from the work he'd done around the homesteads. Creepers were hung between the trunks like a net the jungle had woven to catch its smaller denizens. They crackled annoyingly as he waded through them, booted feet crunching on the spindly moss-like grass that grew deep in the jungle. Birds clucked and squawked as they arrowed through the latticework of branches. He could see the distant movement of venals high overhead, spiraling round trunks and branches like three-dimensional shadows. The light filtering down through the leafy canopy was growing darker. He spotted an increasing number of young gigantes interspaced with the usual trees. They resembled elongated cones with an outer coating of mauve-brown fibrous hair rather than a true bark. Their boughs emerged in rings from the trunk, spaced regularly up the entire length. They all sloped downwards at a 50-degree angle, supporting fan-like arrangements of twigs, densely packed as birds' nests. Leaves grew on the upper surface like a dark green fur. The first time Quinn had seen a mature gigantea, he thought he must have been tripping. It stood 230 metres high, with a base 45 metres in diameter, rearing out of the jungle like a misplaced mountain. Creepers and vines had wrapped themselves around its lower branches, adding a colourful speckle of multicoloured flowers to its uninspiring, leaden-green leaves. But even the vigorous vines couldn't hope to challenge a gigantea. Jackson clicked his fingers and pointed ahead. Quinn risked raising his head above the shoulder-high rawl bushes and spindly, light-starved saplings. The sace they had been tracking was padding through the skimpy undergrowth 10 meters away. It was a big specimen, a buck, its black hide scarred and flecked with blue spots, ears chewed down to stubs. It had been in a lot of fights, and won them. Quinn smiled happily and signalled Lawrence forwards. Jackson stayed where he was, sighting the laser rifle on the sace's head, back up in case their attack went wrong. The hunt had taken a while to set up. There were 30 of Aberdale's residents spread out through the jungle today, but they were all nearer to the river. Quinn, Jackson, and Lawrence had made off southwest into the deeper jungle as soon as they could, away from the river and its humidity, into the country where the sais lurked. Poor Manani had ridden off at dawn to help one of the savannah homesteads track down the sheep that had wandered off after their stockade had failed.